one inside it that just covers the area of the high closure, or sorry, the high spawning activity. And then there is the closure that follows the lat long lines, which the committee rejected. The impacts on this measure are that there would be a reduced biological impact on cod spawning in the area, and for the economic impacts, it showed that a small group of recreational operators may have 6 to 10% of their revenue reduced, the ones that are that rely heavily on fishing trips in this area. The overall impacts are very small because the area is quite small overall. And for sector vessels, they would lose their ability to fish there in June if the closure is passed. The last section in the commercial and recreational fishery measures is on hand gear A measures, and there are 5 options in this category. Option 1 is the no action. Option 2 is to exempt the hand gear A vessels from the Gulf of Maine rolling closures and the Georges Bank seasonal closures. Option 3 is to subject hand gear A vessels to the same Gulf of Maine rolling closures as sector vessels. Option 4 makes the hand gear A cod trip limit adjust by stock area. Essentially what that does is it decouples the Georges Bank cod trip limit for hand gear with the Gulf of Maine cod trip limit for hand gear. They're currently linked, and they're based on the Gulf of Maine cod stock status, not the Georges Bank stock status. And option 5 is the same as option 4, but for the hand gear B category. The rolling closure exemptions could lead to exceeding the PSC brought to the common pool by the hand gear A vessels, but it will increase the opportunity to target cod. The reason these exemptions were requested is there's a situation where hand gear A vessels are shut out by the rolling closures because they fish closer inshore. And by the time the rolling closures are finished and the hand gear A vessels in the common pool can start fishing, the common pool is already approaching its tack and the trip limits are reduced. So the hand gear A vessels are effectively don't have that opportunity to fish at the start of the year at the higher trip limits. The trip limit changes, the impacts for option 4 and option 5, they should improve the effectiveness of measures to control catches of each specific stock because it ties the trip limit to the stock status rather than tying it to sort of an unrelated stock.
Okay, thank you. To adopt 4.3.1, option 2, framework 45, and that's the general category scallop dredge exemption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Rip. Discussion? Discussion on the motion. Anyone in the audience? Back to the council, last chance. Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. I have 12 opposed, 1 in opposition, abstentions, 1 abstention. Motion carries 12-1-1. Frank?
Okay, next. To adopt 4.3.2, option 2, framework 45, which is the Gulf of Maine spawning protection area closure. I won't go into the detail. I think Ann just listed them all out, and that needs a second.
Is there a second? Seconded by David Gaethel. Discussion? Doug?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a motion that I'd like to amend that I'd like to put up on the board if Karen has that states to replace the second bullet with the following language. All recreational fishing vessels using gear capable of catching groundfish are prohibited from fishing in the area from April through June. Only pelagic hook and line gear, as defined in the commercial fishing exempted gear regulations, is allowed for use in this area. The second change would be to add a fourth bullet that states the take or possession of any groundfish species by vessels using exempted gear in this area from April through June is prohibited. And if I get a second to this motion, I'll be glad to speak to it.
Is there a second? Seconded by Dave Gaethel. Doug?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the things, this was, the basic concept of this was brought up at the Groundfish Committee meeting, and originally it passed, and then it was reconsidered, and it was removed. My concern, clearly, because this box includes some parts of state waters, and there are striped bass fisheries in part of that box that occur in June. It's a June is a large time of year when we're catching things, recreational fishermen are catching things, and I'm attempting here to implement the spawning closure in a manner in which we would not be taking, we would be eliminating the possibility of taking any cod and getting people off of this. I also note that we are, in as the option two is currently worded, we are allowing exempted commercial fishing gear in this area. So I think if we're going to allow exempted commercial fishing gear, we should also allow exempted recreational fishing gear. And just for the council's information, I'd be willing to read the definition of pelagic hook and line gear as it's written in the federal regulations. And it means hand line or rod and reel gear that is designed to fish for or that is being used to fish for pelagic species, no portion of which is designed to be or is operated in contact with the bottom at any time. So I'd like consideration of this from the standpoint that we do have some other fisheries that take place, and I'm trying to put something in where we will protect cod so that there won't be any fishing on cod while allowing other fisheries to take place in this area.
Discussion? Motion to amend? Rip?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Quickly, I support this. I think it gives recreational users an opportunity to access some of the other fish that will be, during certain parts of that closure, available to them. And I think this is a reasonable way to address it.
Anyone else? Dr. Pierce.
I appreciate, you know, Doug's desire to have some latitude with regard to recreational fishermen who might be fishing for striped bass, for example. I'm struggling with this motion since I tend to fall back to the way Massachusetts has dealt with our closures for protection of pre-spawning and spawning cod, and that is a complete prohibition on recreational and commercial fishing, no exceptions. Exceptions always lead to abuse, always lead to problems with law enforcement actually being able to determine what's going on. So again, I understand the desire for latitude, but my strong preference is to be as restrictive as possible, and that would be to not provide for these ways in which fishermen would be able to fish within the area. It's an extremely important area. I identified the area, I identified the issue back at the beginning of this year. We talked about it. The council agreed that indeed this is one of the last areas where we actually have some significant concentrations, important concentrations of spring spawning codfish. So just in the interest of being as restrictive as possible, as protective as possible regarding these particular fish, and not providing for any possible loopholes, I'll oppose the motion.
Pat?
I'm opposed to the motion as well. I think it completely undermines the enforceability of it, and our enforcement folks may want to speak to that. As it is, this area has gotten smaller and smaller. This is the smallest area considered by the committee. I really think that if we want to make this effective, we've got to stop continually putting in the exemptions that basically make it worthless and just a paper exercise.
Anyone else on the council? David?
Yeah, I do think it's enforceable. I mean, if you have a lead weight on your line, that's a violation. You're using pelagic gear. You're drifting it in the tide. The water's quite deep here. You're not going to drift the line all the way to the bottom. If you look on the chart, the area in question is basically see four or five little red dots up towards the Isles of Shoals. That's where the UNH fish pens used to be. And probably because those fish pens were there and so much food was dumped in the water, it's become quite a striped bass hotspot. And so you can see it's a ways away from the major area of the cod. I mean, there are some cod up in that corner. That's why the box goes up there. But it's inside state waters. This is going to be, I think, problematic for the state of New Hampshire to perhaps get past a complete prohibition on fishing in state waters. It'll be much more likely to be supported by the recreational fishery if they can do their striped bass fishing up in that corner. Remember, striped bass fishing isn't allowed in federal waters anyway. So you're really talking about, and it's unfortunately the gray line's not showing up on this chart, but it's really the northwest corner there. If you draw kind of a semicircle just underneath those fish pens, it's that very northwest corner up by the Isles of Shoals. So it's a pretty small area that there'd be any striped bass fishing in. So I think it's a reasonable way to gain support for something that is very controversial in New Hampshire. Make no mistake about it. There are a lot of people that don't think this area should be closed to recreational fishing, and this would make it a little more palatable for them to accept that closure.
Anyone else on the council? Terry?
Yeah, thanks, Doug, for making the motion, and I want to support it, but I'm struggling. I'm in the Mid-Coast and down East Maine don't have any cod fish, I'm not concerned about the striped bass fishery. I am concerned about a recreational fishery that's been going back here to take these trophy fish for the last number of years, and the ability to enforce to keep them out of it. And off those fish, and so I guess if this is to move ahead, we're going to want to monitor it very carefully this year and see what the outcome is going to be, and if it does not do the job, then I would be looking for an absolute closure.
Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I might just ask the service, it seemed to me that, in fact, what Doug is proposing here is more restrictive than what we had, with the exception of the allowing the pelagic gear. In the previous motion, you actually would allow vessels to transit the area with gear stowed, with no prohibition of having groundfish on board. So this says a total prohibition of transiting the area when you have any groundfish. You're not allowed to be in there. That seems to me that it's a lot more enforceable than what we previously had.
Well, certainly we could add that prohibition to the main motion, but I don't see it as more restrictive. And I also don't understand why in that little tiny piece we need to compromise this by allowing fishing.
Frank?
Yeah, two questions. Doug, was that your intent? And I don't know the area, and I'm going to ask Dave, can vessels get in and out of that area without having? I'm just unfamiliar with the area. If somebody's fishing offshore, could they get back to port if they have groundfish?
The way I worded the motion, is the take or possession of groundfish species by vessels using exempted gear in the area from April to June is prohibited. We still are under this option allowing fishing vessels, both commercial and recreational, to transit the area as long as gear is properly stowed in accordance with regulations promulgated by the regional administrator. And if it's important to the council, you know, I'm more than willing to make an adjustment to this, but we are a state, there's three states up here that are about ready to implement a saltwater recreational fishing license, which is going to improve the quality of data collection. We're already in this same year taking away some fishing that was going to occur there, and quite rightly so. I totally support this concept. But they, not only striped bass fishermen, but tuna fishermen and some shark fishermen, were also making the argument at the Groundfish Committee meeting that there is some fisheries that do occur there. And if we can effectively prohibit the take or possession of the species we're targeting, and I added groundfish as a whole because I couldn't understand why, if you're going to prohibit groundfish, I mean cod, you wouldn't prohibit any groundfish from being taken there. Because if somebody could say, well, I caught a hake, well, what are they doing on the bottom? I think we've accomplished a good mechanism for preventing the take of cod, the harvest of cod, the take of cod from this area by restricting the gear here. And so I think we're accomplishing both. We're allowing fishing activity to take place there, both commercial and recreational, because that's still in here. But it's something that will not take cod, which is what we're trying to protect here.
So your intent is that the third bullet stays?
At this point, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess I need, for implementation purposes, I think we need clarification on that. Does that mean if a vessel, that this prohibition from having any groundfish on board, that applies, you say, using pelagic gear, does that mean if any pelagic gear is on board the vessel, it can't have groundfish on board as well when in the area, whether it's got the gear out in the water or not? Is that what that means? I mean, so the only vessels that can be in that area with groundfish are vessels with pelagic gear on board the vessel. I mean, what if they have both gears on board and the groundfish gear is stored?
The groundfish gear is stored. They're not, they can have groundfish on board.
Even if they have pelagic gear on board as well. I mean, it gets kind of convoluted here, but I'm just trying to understand exactly what's meant.
The
here.
Difference is when they're stored, these people are in place fishing. They could have it on board, but if they're not motoring, this is the item four here talks about transiting. Fishing vessels may transit the area. So they're moving through that area, and that's the only ones that will be allowed. Now, if the service feels more comfortable with a complete prohibition on the possession of groundfish in that area during those months, I'm willing to amend my motion here. But I thought we had something in here that if you properly stowed it, in other words, the things in the rod racks or down below, you could have some just to help the boats that are coming from offshore around the area. But if from an enforcement standpoint, it makes it clearer and easier, I'd be more than willing to include that in there so that the possession of groundfish species by any vessels in this area would be prohibited from April through June. I was trying to make this simple.
Frank?
I think this, and I could be wrong, I just asked Doug, but this would make it consistent with what I think we do in Area 1 and 2 on George. It's not that it's a lot of recreational fishing there, but however we worded it there, I think is probably pretty similar to this. And I think it probably also goes to when you have the winter closure in the Gulf of Maine, that the boats can transit the area as long as they're not fishing with groundfish aboard, with the gear stowed and all that. So I think the precedent is there, whether this goes up or down. I think those are the two examples that would be used.
Dave Gaethel?
Yeah, a couple of points I wanted to make. I think when vessels are transiting the area, recreational vessels right now, a closed area, they're required to have the sinkers off the rods. So that would make, as an example, the area, sinkers, jigs, anything with a weight on it. So that would make that gear at that point pelagic gear because you can't sink to the bottom. So we'd have to, you know, just be clear to people that you can't have your sinkers on the rods when you transit in the area. I do think that we should allow transit in the area. I think it would be a safety concern to try and route people up there basically within a quarter mile of White Island Reef to the northwest or, you know, 8 or 9 miles to the south there. Remember, this is springtime. It's still, you have some pretty rough days, even for big head boats. And I also remind people that there will be vessels already in the area under current exemptions. There's a very extensive lobster fishery that goes on in that area. So to say that there won't be vessels there is not true. I mean, if you you want to defeat this, all you got to do is say the lobster industry can't fish there, and I guarantee you this will go down in flames in a heartbeat. As far as David's concerns about the difference in this area and the Massachusetts areas, the fact is that there are different times of the year. I mean, there aren't many striped bass around in January, so it's not an issue in Massachusetts. You know, there is a large group of charter boats that fish around where those fish pens are for striped bass, and, you know, that is something that we don't analyze because it's not a federally managed plant. So it hasn't really come up in the analysis of this situation. You know, that's managed under the AFMFC. So I don't see what Doug's trying to do if it's left as it currently exists is inconsistent with our greater objective of having no ground fishing in this area in April, May, and June. And I would recommend both to the maker of the motion that we don't change any of the wording and that you vote it, you know, either vote it up or vote it down as it exists. And you know, because I think this is as good a perfection as you're going to get.
Anything further on the motion to amend? Go to the audience. Hands everywhere. Mr. Swanson.
Yeah, Don Swanson, Coastal Conservation Association, New Hampshire. We fully support this motion that Doug has put forward here. And like I say, there is that much recreational fishing, and this gives us a chance because we have a lot of people that do fish, like the tuna. The tuna are starting to come in. I'm talking school tuna, from what I understand. And we do have a lot of people that shark fish. These people do not hit the bottom like some of the commercial fisheries that say they never hit bottom, but they do hit bottom. But shark fishing, striped fishing, basically, and the tuna, that gear does not hit the bottom. So, like I say, we fully support this motion the way it's written right now.
Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is John Starrett. I'm a recreational fisherman from New Hampshire. First, I want to state I absolutely do support this. 99% of the problems with the spawning cod getting caught are going to get resolved this way. And I do want to remind everybody you can catch cod in a lobster pot. So, you know, if you're allowing one type of fishing, any type of fishing, you should also allow the recreational guys who aren't targeting cod to go out there and target stripers, tuna, sharks. Thanks.
Roger Burton is my name. I also have a charter business, and I'm for this also. We heard about this going on. Of course, I stay away from that. And a lot of us, myself included, were instrumental in shutting down some of the spawning area in the Gulf of Maine, close to shore in Nahant, for an example. We saw a mass slaughter going on there some years back. You know, people throwing fish overboard. It was horrible. And big 30, 40, 50, 60-pound fish. It was unbelievable. So we finally got to Paul Laiorti, and he finally shut it down. And but it's a very small area. We had another one, too, where we still do, right outside of Gloucester, a few miles out of Gloucester. And we also complain about that, you know, big fish, you know, very few big spawning area, and that was one of them. And this area was kind of small, maybe a half a mile by half a mile by less than a mile long. And right then, that specific area, they finally shut it down. And but we, you know, we monitor it, too. You know, the cops are always watching it, and they catch people left and right that doesn't that don't know that it's closed. That's mostly what happens. People just don't know any better. And we try to spread the word to everybody that we know, and tell people that, you know, that they know, too, so keep them out of there. And every year they get a few people that, you know, they catch them there, but, you know, they get them out of there real quick before they do a lot of damage. And this place here we're talking about, down by the Isle of Shoals, is a very small area. It should be protected at all costs. If you want to catch other kind of fish, there's plenty of places to fish. I mean, it's a big ocean. You don't need to be there to fish any other kind of fish. I think it's well worth it to protect those fish by not allowing people to fish anywhere near those spots. So I fully support that amendment. Thanks.
Right, so anything else? Anyone else? Back to the council. Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Twelve in favor, opposed. Three opposed. Abstentions. One abstention. Motion to amend carries 12-3. One abstention. Now we're on the main motion as amended. Anything further? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Three in favor, opposed. Two opposed, abstentions. One abstention. 13-2-1. Frank.
Okay, thank you. To adopt 4.3.3, option 2, 4, and 5 in framework 45. And this is hand gear permit measures. And Ann already went into the what the options were. So, and I do need a second.
We have a second. Seconded by Doug Grout. Discussion. Doug.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make have another motion to amend. And again, if I get a second to this, I will be glad to speak to it. Hand gear A vessel, move to amend the first paragraph under section 4.3.3 to read as follows. The hand gear A vessel trip limit for cod will remain at 300 pounds per trip, one trip per day, until such time that the regional administrator has lowered the trip limit for cod for the relevant stock area that applies to the limited access days at sea fishing, days at sea vessels fishing in the common pool below 300 pounds. Once this has occurred, the cod trip limit for vessels fishing under hand gear A permit would become equal to the trip limit for cod that applies to the limited access days at sea vessels fishing in the common pool in the relevant stock area for the remainder of the fishing year. bite at that point.
Is there a second? Seconded by Jim Ovin. Go ahead, Doug.
So there was a variety of options that were developed by the Groundfish Committee at their Groundfish Committee meeting here to address some of the issues that have that the Hangare fishery has experienced this year by the lowering of the trip limits. Originally, one of the options was being looked at was to keep the Hangare trip limit at 300 pounds until they'd used up their percentuals, their PSEs in it, and that was ruled as a something that would not be consistent, something that we would have to do in an amendment. This particular option was actually brought up by council staff at the Groundfish Committee meeting. It wasn't picked up on by the groundfishermen, I mean by the Groundfish Committee. And what this essentially does, and it's very complicated because I was also trying to include the thing that was in option four here, and I guess I do have to make a correction here, and I'll get back to that. But what it does is it keeps the Hangare trip limit at 300 pounds until such time that the common pool trip limit goes below 300 pounds, and at that point, from that point on, they would be, for the remainder of the fishing gear, whatever the common pool trip limit is what the Hangare permit trip limit would be. One of the problems they had with the current system is it was being done proportionately. So when they went from 800 pounds in the common pool down to 400 pounds, these folks had to go down to 100 pounds. And at that point, they became not a viable fishery from the comments that we received here. So what I'm trying to do is keep this very small fishery at a 300-pound trip limit, and please understand that the reduction that they went from down to 100 pounds occurred on July 30th, and they don't, because of the rolling closures right now, they're not able to fish until July 1st. So essentially, they had a one-month fishery at that point, and that's why some of the landings have been so low on this. The way I worded this, it was to try and make it a part of option four here, and I'm sorry, and I'm going to amend my motion to say to move to amend the first paragraph in section 4.3.3 under option four. That makes it clearer, and I apologize I didn't put that in. And I was trying to keep in the same concept that the Groundfish Committee did of trying to decouple what the trip limits were in each of the stock areas, the Georges Bank stock areas versus the Gulf of Maine stock area. So under this example, if this were to if this motion were to pass, the Gulf of Maine, and let's say the Gulf of Maine stock area trip limit for common pool goes to 500 pounds, the Hangare would remain at 300 pounds. If the Gulf of Maine trip limit for common pool vessels goes to 200 pounds, then the Hangare trip limit in the Gulf of Maine stock, fishing in the Gulf of Maine stock, would go to 200 pounds. And in Georges Bank, it would still remain the same, whatever, because we would be decoupling the trip limit. Right now, when one goes down, they all go down.
Jimmy?
I second this to get the conversation going. If I was a Hangare guy, I'd be a little nervous about this because I've heard rumors that like 99% of the ace is going to be in sectors. just a little bit in the common pool, and I think you will be projecting out even before the year starts or right after the year starts that you'll be lowering the trip limit very rapidly. And I guess I'm asking this of the service. If that's the case, right now we're at, I think, a 30-pound trip limit. These guys could be cut much quicker. I thought the other way was that they were going to be cut proportionately so that if the common pool started at 800 and went to 400, they could cut 50%. The hand gear gears would be cut proportionally, and it would be... I thought that would be a better system. So my question is, when do you project what your trip limit is going to be for the service? When do you project what your trip limit is going to be in the common pool in the beginning of the fishing year?
We wouldn't do that until at least March or April.
Before the beginning of the fishing year,
right. But the problem with the alternative is you're basically reallocating it to the hand gear fishery.
Mike Leary.
Yeah, thanks. I have a couple of questions for Doug. Doug, I think the open access hand gear fishermen could start in June this year. I don't think it was July 1st. I think it was June 1st. But my question is, are we going to hard tack and trimesters next year, or is it the following year? 2 years, okay.
First of all, the hand gear A is a limited access. It's not open access. And they could start fishing, but effectively up where we are because of the roll enclosures, and they're not allowed in the roll enclosures because any of the roll enclosures because they're still considered part of the common pool. They couldn't start fishing until July 1.
Yes, I saw hand gear A fishermen fishing in June, down at 125. It's open.
They're down 25 as opposed to 132
right.
And 133.
Yeah.
Dave Gable.
Yeah, question of clarification, Doug. Is this current motion only apply to the first paragraph of option 4, or does it apply to everything prior to that? Basically, if you look at pages 46, 47, and 48, I'm trying to, in other words, are the roll enclosures still on the table, or are they? Does this motion remove those items from consideration?
My initial intent was to get this as a replacement for option 4. And then the council will be selecting from these alternatives, these four options, which ones, one or all of them or a fraction of them that they're comfortable with. So right now it's simply making a modification to option 4.
Okay. So if we vote this up, then we change option 4 to this. If we vote this down, then we either keep option 4 as it is or try another amendment.
Yeah, or choose some other options.
Terry.
Yeah, thanks. We did have a discussion about this at the committee, and the question went to Gene about whether or not this would be a change of allocation, whether it was frameworkable. Were you able to come to a resolution?
Well, yeah, it wasn't this particular option. It was whether you assign the equivalent PSCs to the hand gear A permits and let them fish under their own sort of overall quota based on that aggregate. This doesn't, as I see it, this doesn't do that. So I don't think it's a problem.
After Mr. Chair, when we're done with this, I have another issue to deal with, one of the other options.
Greg.
Hey, just a couple of things, and I want to make sure I have this correct. If at the beginning of the year the regional administrator said it was a 300-pound trip limit for everybody, it would be 300 pounds for this group. And then if it went down from there, this group would go down.
At the beginning of the year, if it was determined that it would be a 500-pound trip limit, this group would get 300, and then as it ratcheted down, this group would get ratcheted down if it got below 300. The other thing, too, is just an interesting point. Several motions ago, we discussed what happens to the remainder of the fish from retired permits, and we thought that was a very small amount and not a big issue. That's more fish than we're talking about here. This group has landed less than half of what we decided a little while ago was insignificant. Just keep that in mind.
Anyone else in the council? Go to the audience. Mark?
Mark Stettner. I support this. I think it gets away from the differential system in place now. It makes it easier. It fixes for a little while. Remember, the other boats will hopefully, you know, I think there's room in the ocean for everybody, of course. And, you know, the fact is that we had about a three-week season. We weren't able to catch a normal hand gear, catch a cod. And we're really talking about cod here. We're very small. There's only a handful of us left. And, you know, this is a good way of detaching that differential, and I think it will make it easier for the management of the fishery as well. I mean, right now, the hand gear rate trip limit is 50 pounds. I don't know anyone in a room that could tell me if I put 50 pounds of cod in a tote, if I got 50 pounds or not. You just can't measure even 50 pounds. And I think, you know, it would go down, like you said, it would go down to a level. I think we support this. This is a good measure for substitution of option four. However, we definitely need to keep options two and three on the table. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, council members. As you know, I'm hand gear a fisherman. We need to do this. We will not be a viable fishery without some of these amendments. We are your oldest established fishery in this country, and it'd be a shame to see it go away. We are the most conservation-minded fishery you have. We do not destroy habitat. We return fish that are undersized back to the ocean alive. Anything you can do to promote or to help this fishery survive, and it's only survival. There's a lot of days we go out there, we don't find our 300 pounds. We just don't catch them one after another and load the boat up. Sometimes it takes us a whole day, and we come in with a box of fish. Anything favorable to this fishery that you think you can do for us is only continuation of a fishery. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Hang here, Roger Burson of Rudaga. You know, I've been fishing for a long time, way over 30 years, and this year is the first time that I've been out of work. I can't go fishing because of the rules. Somehow we fell between the cracks, and we're down to 50 pounds a day. Mike was right. We can fish south of the 4230 in June. It's north of the 4230 that's closed right now. And this year we're down to 50 pounds. And now it cost me almost that just for fuel to go fishing. So in other words, I can't go fishing. And I did this for years. That's all I do. I got a little boat. I go out and I get a box of fish, a box and a half. Lucky, so once in a while, maybe two or three boxes. Most time it's a box and a half. That's how I make a living. You know, I live, barely make a living. I'm very poor, but I eat good. You know, I live indoors, and I got a decent car, and, you know, I'm pretty happy-go-lucky kind of a guy. But now the way things are, I'm totally out of work. I can't go fishing at all. And I use a fishing rod for years and years thinking that somebody in charge of all these rules would try to understand that the kind of fishing we're doing is not affecting the ocean, you know, at all. You know, it should be encouraged. And I know that you guys are very busy trying to fix everything, and I appreciate you guys giving us a little time to look at our fishery, because I think we've been overlooked for a long time. But this is we're some of the last Mohegans around here, you know. We have a hard time teaching new kids to come into the fishery because of the complexity of the rules and everything, and it's not really profitable. We're not asking for much, but I approve this for starters. And, you know, like I say, as you make those rules with the hand gear A, there's only a handful of us that are really doing this seriously. And try to give us a little break, because a lot of people in Gloucester around the area, they depend on us to bring in some nice fish, fresh fish every day. And we don't get that much of them, you know, even 100 pounds, 150 pounds. You know, we can make a living doing this, you know. So I approve that amendment. Thanks.
Yes, sir.
Yes, my name is Paul Hoffman, a New Hampshire hook fisherman. I asked for approval of this amendment because that'll help our industry. And I also would ask that you recommend Amendment 2, which will let us fish during the rolling closures where we're locked out. We fish the same areas as the recreational fishermen that are also allowed to fish during this time of year. And with the whaleback closure, we don't fish that area anyway. We fish outside of that. And with our small vessels, we don't have the range to go outside of the rolling closures. So I ask that, you know, I support this amendment, and I also support this amendment too. Thank you.
Anyone else? Back to the council. Anyone? Doug?
Just for clarification, Karen, could you, after the first sentence there where it says move to amend the first paragraph, insert the words under option 4 in where it says, see how it says, to amend the first paragraph, and right there put in option 4, and then get rid of the word 4. And put it in the, right after that. Good enough. Thank you.
Anything further from council? Ready for the question? Ann?
I just wanted to point out, because I think some of the numbers got repeated incorrectly, that that this is up to 15% of the common pool catch for Gulf of Maine cod. And so this could create a situation where the hand gear are actually determining the trip limits for the rest of the fishery, because that is a fairly substantial percentage, just to make sure that the council members are realize that, that that's potential. And also that if this amends option 4, that if it's not selected, then there isn't another option to decouple the Hangiri cod trip limit and Georges Bank and Gulf of Maine, which maybe we can deal with later, but just to point that out, that that removes that option that doesn't include the trip limit then.
Council members, ready for the question? All those in favor of the amendment, raise your hand. Twelve opposed. One abstentions. One motion to amend carries 12-1-1. Now we're on the main motion as amended. Anything further on the main motion as amended, Terry?
Yeah, Karen, could you go back up the top, please? Or I think Under the hand gear measures, we have, was it, it's two, an amended four and five. Am I correct? Two, four, and five. Okay. Well, I have a problem with option two, the outright exemption from all the roll enclosures, and I'm going to make a motion to substitute option three for option two.
You want to substitute option three for option two? Is there a second? Seconded by Dave Gaethel. Discussion on the motion. Terry.
We just went through a lengthy discussion on the whaleback area and the need to protect spawning cod. We've just given them, as Ann said, 15% of the common pool tack. I think we need to protect spawning cod, and option three is reasonable, and option two is pushing it from my perspective.
Anyone else? The motion? Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, if I could, Mr. Chairman, I would appreciate it if Terry would explain a bit more what he made, what he meant by option. The original motion would not provide protection for spawning cod, and yet your motion to amend would, or substitute would. Just.
Yeah, surely. I mean, they're both allowing the hand gear A vessels into the roll enclosures, but the option three subjects them to the same roll enclosures as the sector vessels, which is a different combination of blocks than option two, which would exempt them from everything.
Anyone else in the council? Go to the audience. Mark?
I hear something that disturbs me, that all of a sudden, a hand gear A is going to be given 15% of the common pool tack for Gulf of Maine cod. Or, well, let me make this very clear. This is the history of the hand gear A fishery. So you need to be careful here. When you say that all of a sudden they'll be given 15% of the common pool Gulf of Maine cod, this is our history. We earned it. It's a very small percentage, 15%. We're talking less than 1% of the cod catch. Okay? I'd also like to make something very clear here, that we have weather to contend with. We have the size of our boats. We have the ability to catch 300 pounds in a day. It's not a given every day. We have all these other constraints. Now that we're talking about the main motion, okay, I want to make clear, too, that now we've got data and science to support where the cod are. The difference between option two and three is very clear. Do you want the hand gear cod fishery off north of Cape Ann to have a 30-day season or a 60-day season? That's what it comes down to. Okay? You're talking about 60 days, and we don't know what's going to happen when more boats come in and join, not hangar boats, but other boats. For all we know, the season may be shut down May 2nd. Who knows? All we're asking for is the same access. We use the same gear as recreational fishermen. We know where the cod spawning are. We just closed that area. We were a very small percentage of the fishery. If we're going to exceed our quota, that 15%, let the regional administrator write you a letter, and we'll look at it in the next framework. Oh, my gosh, we're catching too many cod. Okay? Let's be honest here. We're small. We're reduced to no fishing this year, essentially. Nothing. According to some numbers I got, and they might fluctuate a little bit, to bring us back to our historical fishery, you have to let us fish 95% more than we did this year. We used to be able to fish July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March at 300 pounds. don't you think there's some conservation equivalent here letting us fish in May and June? Because we know we're going to be shut down probably July 1st or earlier. This is a race to fish that a hand-gear boat will always lose. Always. Now, this is a Band-Aid. Let's do the right thing, approve option two the way it is, and move on. It's the right thing to do. And if there's any equity to be out there, and other fishermen want to join a hand-gear A category, I tell you, there's over 100 permits that aren't being used. Probably you could sell reshingling a house to buy one because they're not worth much. So anybody who wants to join hand-gear A, I got to go spend over $100,000 to even think about buying a Days at Sea with any catch. So there's a lot of issues here, but think about it this way. Again, I'm going to repeat myself to make it really clear. We were supposed to be able to fish July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March at 300 pounds. So we're asking to be able to fish at 300 pounds May and June. Because even April next year, when we might even start up again, don't forget about the March 1 through 20 closure, we're going to be down to 100 pounds. So you're talking about 300 pounds for probably 2 months. That's option two. We're talking 300 pounds. Option three is 300 pounds for 30 days or less. Do you want a 30-day hand-gear fishery or a 60-day hand-gear fishery? That's what it's come down to. So I'm begging you to support option two. Thank you.
Maggie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The rationale for Terry's motion perpetuates the mythology that these closures are for spawning protection. They are mortality closures. And so I think it would be a problem to continue to call the rolling closures spawning protection. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
That's the most I've spoken in a long time. Listen, I'll be brief. The rolling closure does not necessarily mean it's a spawning area. You got to remember, some of us are out there an awful lot, and we know what's happening. We stay away from any kind of aggregation of spawning fish. We report it to the authority. We tell them, hey, we've got to shut this place off. For our own benefit, we'll be crazy not to. So it would be nice to fish in those rolling closures because those fish are not spawning that we're catching. And we're only getting a few fish that are coming by here and there. It's not like a spawning area. You go there, you can stay there all day just about and then get a fish all day long. They're just one little area. And they don't want to eat either. You gotta snag them. It's horrible. So this is what's happening now. We can go in a rolling closure. You get a couple of fish, one fish here on a hump. One fish there, nothing. Then you move around all day long. You got a couple here, a couple there. So it's not, and they're not spawning fish. They're just traveling fish, feeding here and there. They're all spread out. When they're actually spawning, they are really tight in a small little area. So when you say rolling closure, it's not a spawning area. They may be traveling sometime to go spawning, and small little groups here and there. But you don't just go there anywhere in a closed area. Oh, I'm going to kill them there. It doesn't work that way. You only get a very few fish just traveling by. So I think it would give us a little chance to get a few fish for April and May if we're allowed to go. We got to remember, the hand-gear A, try to look up to us. We're the heroes around here. You know, we don't cause any damage. Look at the report that we're getting. You know, very few fish. So if you can help us out, you're going to help. That'll be a good thing for everybody. Thanks.
Okay, back to the council. Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure if I understood Terry's concern exactly, or I didn't hear him, but if the concern is something like the whaleback closure. The language dealing with that is the same in both options, the way that would be handled. And essentially, they'd be shut out of whaleback because they would have gear that was not pelagic gear. So that's just a comment. I probably will not support the change.
Anything further? Pat?
When the council made their recommendations on which of the Gulf of Maine rolling closures to make universal exemptions for the sector vessels, it was, in fact, based on information about spawning. And so I support the motion to substitute. I think spawning protection is spawning protection and should apply to everyone.
Anything further from the council? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Thirteen opposed, two abstentions, one abstention. Motion carries 13-2 with one abstention. Now we're back on the main motion as amended. Anything further? You ready for the question? David?
Yeah, can Karen just go back up to the original? Mm-hmm. It was. It's now three, four, and five. As amended, just want to be sure what I'm voting on. That's correct, right? Okay.
Right. That last vote just swapped out two and three. Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your. Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention. The motion carries 15-0. One abstention. Frank, anything else on the groundfish?
Sort of.
Ann?
Yeah, we had a question about option three with that measure that was just voted on. The committee passed a separate motion on whether to allow hand gear A access to the Georges Bank seasonal closure. When we wrote up the document, it wasn't exactly clear whether that should be included with the option option two or option three, so we did not write it in option three. And I just wanted to make sure that it was the council's intent that committee motion on access to Georges Bank seasonal closure was not meant to be included in option three that just passed.
So the motion that just passed prohibits Hangar A from the GB seasonal closure, and you want to make sure the council's aware of that. Okay, council? Mike Leary?
Isn't the Georges Bank seasonal closure way offshore?
No, I think you're referring to the month of May. Yeah. It's closed in May.
Way offshore or?
Just about everywhere.
Everywhere.
Is council's aware of that? That's your intent? Jimmy?
I don't think that was the intent of, I can't speak for Terry, but when I voted, I didn't think of that. So I have to make a motion to exempt hand gear A and B permits from the seasonal closures on Georges Bank.
There, second. Seconded by Terry. Discussion?
Jimmy's correct.
Discussion? Anyone in the audience? Back to the council. Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Fourteen opposed. Abstentions? How many abstentions do I have? One? One opposed. 14-1-1. Anything else, Frank?
To approve framework 45 as amended for submission to.
Is there a second? Seconded by Rip. Discussion. Discussion. Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. I have 15 opposed. Abstentions? One abstention. 15-0, one abstention. Pat?
Did we vote on the U.S.-Canada attack?
At the last meeting.
Ah, that's right.
Anything further on the ground fish, Frank?
Yeah, we've got two more motions, but they're not framework. First one is to send a letter to the National Marine Fisheries Service that they waive the requirement for ACE transfers to be completed within 2 weeks after the end of the fishing year, as they see necessary and described, desirable. And that's a committee motion.
So what's the suggested replacement? If it's not 2 weeks, what is it?
I think we've got...
I think it was 4 weeks, if you're referring to the letter that the council received, to add 2 weeks. We have a second. Do we have a second? I haven't taken seconds on committee motions all day. Jim Fair, discussion. Mary Beth.
Well, I think the motion that the committee made was moving in the right direction, but it doesn't quite get to the issue, and that is that the sectors to date have not been receiving full reconciliation information from the agency. So, and I think the agency is working on that, and hopefully as we, you know, go through, you know, time here that that will improve. But what the committee recommended was that we waive the requirement. And I think what the sectors really were looking for is that whenever the agency provides those final reconciliation, that they then have 2 weeks from that point, whatever that point in time is. So, I mean, the agency may not get full reconciliation to them until mid-July. And, if, you know, it's quite possible. I mean, could be mid-June. I don't really know. But so far, they haven't gotten anything to, well, they've gotten something to them, but it's not everything that they need for reconciliation of their numbers. So I think I would offer an amendment to this motion that would read that ACE transfers be completed within 2 weeks of all sectors' receipt of final NIMS reconciliation of ACE status. And I think that really gets to the issue that the sector managers were raising more clearly.
Is there a second? Seconded by David Gaethel. Discussion. Pat Kirkle.
Yeah. So, first off, the 2 weeks is codified, so it's not something we can waive. Having said that, we are working with the sectors. We have given them the information to begin the reconciliation process. We've set up appointments with some of the sectors and have offered appointments to all of the sectors at this point. Not all of them have taken us up on the offer. And once we go through the first reconciliation, we expect that it'll be a regular process and that there won't be, we're not going to wait till the end of the year to do the reconciliation. It's going to happen between now and then. So we're going to continue to work with the sectors and include as much flexibility as we can. I mean, we've tried to be as flexible as we can in getting through this first year and this learning curve for everybody. And so we'll continue to do that to the extent that we can.
Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just quickly, Mary Beth Woods, the intent of your motion that we continue to, that we would send a letter? No. Okay. Thank you.
Jimmy?
So then, yeah, I was trying to think that so there's nothing wrong with this motion because it's going to happen. That's it.
Anyone else on the council? Go to the audience. Meredith?
Thanks. Meredith Mendelson, Northeast Fishery Sector 5. I appreciate the council looking at this issue. I just want to comment quickly on the rationale for specifying a timeline here, and I appreciate Pat's comments about the reconciliation timeline, you know, sort of being more aggressive in the next 6 months. But as you all know, the agency is planning to hold back 20% of 2011 fishing year ACE, which indicates that there will still be some reconciliation during that two-month time frame. So without final numbers, 2 weeks of trading opportunity really doesn't do that much for the sectors until we know what the final agency numbers are. So really any extension of the trading time period other than a minimum of 2 weeks following receipt of that final reconciliation just doesn't mean a lot or give the sectors really the opportunity that they need to reach their final numbers and move fish around to do so. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Vito Gigliani, Northeast Seafood Coalition. We strongly support this. I think Jimmy made a great point that if the reconciliations all get caught up, then there'd be no issue with 2 weeks beyond the time that we actually receive the reconciliations. And I think it's important that all are up there, and it's also important to understand that this is fish after the end of the fishing year, that the only way you can balance the books is if there's fish left on the table by someone. So it's just a technical paper shuffle that's going to occur. If there's no 2010 ACE remaining and you find out that you're over, then you're in a violation period situation, or they'll be taking ACE away from the following fishing year is what would happen. So right now, council members can appreciate what actually happens. These numbers are in great float. They're every week, every single trip beginning from the first of the fishing year changes. So whatever impacts you thought you had in the first trip of the fishing year never stops changing that particular trip until the last weekly report, because each time the discard rates change, it applies retroactively to every trip in the fishing year. So this isn't as simple as balancing the checkbook where you say, okay, I'm done with May, and I don't have to look back at that. I move forward. This is like every product that you purchase changes its price retroactively every week. So it is a heavy lift for everyone. It's a heavy lift for the government, and I think we need to wait till all sectors are reconciled, and it can't be sector by sector, because if sector A is over and needs to, after reconciliation, needs to find additional quota, sector B is not going to be able to give it to them until they have their reconciliation. So I strongly urge that we move forward with this request. Thank you.
Eric?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Eric Brazier, Fixed Gear Sector. Nice to see you all again. I just wanted to support the two folks who were up here prior to myself. We do support additional time for reconciliation. This shouldn't prevent sectors from being proactive and trying to get out ahead of whatever timeline we're looking at in the end. We also want to recognize that the agency has gotten a lot better with these reconciliations, and the numbers seem to be matching a little bit more closely each week. And we would just reiterate the need to have final numbers very, very, very shortly after the end of the fishing year. The farther we extend this into the summer, the more risk it levies against the sectors. So thank you, NIMS, for the work you've done so far, but please continue to work on this and bring these timelines a little bit closer. Thank you.
Okay, back to the council. Council members? Ready for the question to send a letter? All those in favor, raise your hand. 15. Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention. Motion carries. Frank?
Last one. To ask Nash Marine Fisheries to send a letter to all licensed ground fish dealers reminding them of their reporting requirements under the law. Oops, that was a motion to amend. So we're...
Let's vote on that other one more time. Not this licensed ground fish dealer letter, the other letter. We got to vote on it one more time. There it is. Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Fifteen. Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention. Motion carries 15-01. Frank?
Send a letter to all licensed ground fish dealers reminding them of the reporting requirements under the law. Committee motion.
Any discussion? Dave Gaethel.
You know, the reason for this is that the sector managers are finding it very difficult to get timely dealer reports from a handful of dealers, and nothing seems to be happening to solve that problem. So the hope is that a letter will, force them to comply with existing regulations, and if once they've been warned through a letter, if they continue not to file reports in a timely manner, then enforcement will take appropriate action.
Pat Kirkle.
Actually, quite a lot's been happening to try to resolve that problem. And frankly, we don't think a letter is going to be particularly effective. What we've been doing is sending each of the port agents personally to the dealers. And what we've asked for from the sectors was to get a list of the dealers that they're having particular issues with so that we can target those. So far, we have not gotten any of those lists. And so we would like to get the dealers and everybody else reporting consistent with the requirements as completely and as consistent and as quickly as possible. A letter is not going to make much difference. We've been attacking it from other from ways that we think are more effective. I'm happy to send the letter as well.
Captain Howard suggests maybe we should send the letter to the sector managers urging them to respond to your request. Somebody want to amend? Who gets what? All right, send a letter to sector managers urging them to contact the National Marine Fisheries Service with dealer, what is it, with dealer problems, dealer issues?
Dealers with, who are not.
To report dealers who are reporting incompletely. Incomplete reporting from dealers. Yeah, that's fine.
The committee accepts that as a friendly, so we don't have to vote on it twice.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Unanimous. It's been a while since we had one of those. I think it was scallops. We had a few of those, David. Good job, Dave. Anything else under ground fish? Any council member have anything else under ground fish? Okay, so that concludes ground fish. If there's anybody in the audience that's here for specifically for dog, 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 here for